So I'd like to present our first panelist, Sue Ellen Bennett. Sue Ellen Bennett is the chief of the Health Equity Section at Columbus Public Health Department. She also led the self-assessment process for the department that utilized Barhi's toolkit. Currently, her section is working to finalize Columbus Public Health's equity roadmap and institutionalize equity principles and objectives throughout the department. She's worked for 13 years as an epidemiologist and began her love for public health and serving the vulnerable while working in Cameroon at the Peace Corps. Please welcome Sue Ellen.
Good morning, and congratulations, Giants fans. Heard you all last night. I'll be talking about our experience using the Barhi toolkit. We're really the second site in the country to have implemented the entire toolkit. Before I start, though, I do want to thank Sandy and Kate Clayton at Berkeley and Kathy Schaff at Alameda County for their time and expertise as we were getting ready to implement the toolkit. Their insights were really invaluable to us as we got ready to do this. Just to give you an idea of who we are, Columbus Public Health is located in the city of Columbus, capital of Ohio. We have about 400 full and part-time employees. We have a $46 million budget, over 40 different programs, including on-site clinic activities. According to the 2010 census, we have 787,000 residents, making us the 15th most populous city in America. The makeup, we are 59% non-Hispanic white, 28% non-Hispanic African American or black. We are 6% Hispanic Latino, 4% non-Hispanic Asian, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, 3% non-Hispanic multiracial, and our smallest group is American Indian and Alaskan Native at less than 1% of our population. We also have the second largest Somali community in the United States. Just to give you another idea of where we were in terms of our staff knowledge, this is about all we had really done before implementing the toolkit. NACHO had come to Columbus in 2007, focused on the social determinants of health. Some of our staff got to go to that. When Unnatural Causes was launched, we encouraged our staff to watch it. We did some brown bag optional viewings at lunchtime, but it certainly wasn't required. Our maternal child health group was a little more active in digging a little deeper as they worked with the Partnership to Eliminate Disparities in Infant Mortality. It was an action learning collaborative funded by the Kellogg Foundation. CityMatch, AmChip was involved, National Healthy Start. So they did a little over a year of in-depth education and training around institutional racism and personally mediated racism and those impacts on birth outcomes. So we had this pocket of knowledge kind of in maternal child health where we ended up hiring a part-time health equity coordinator to work on institutional racism with prenatal care providers. We were also very lucky to have Dr. Kamara Jones come in, invited in by the Ohio Department of Health, and some of our staff got to meet with her as well as attend her lecture. But that was really it. We have our tree slide that we adapted from Boston, looking at the soil with discrimination and how that gives rise to all these things leading to inequity. This slide was shown at two all-staff meetings, the last one being 2 weeks before we launched the all-staff survey. And I just show you this to say that we hadn't done in-depth work around health inequities at our department. We just had these pockets of knowledge, but we were getting ready to expand our work and we wanted to know, you know, what we could do better, where our gaps were. We started looking around, particularly in the Commonwealth countries, since they've had a lot more experience working with health inequities, looking at New Zealand, Australia, the UK, Canada, trying to find exactly this kind of a toolkit that Barhi had. So we were really excited when we came across the toolkit and decided that we would commit to implementing all five phases of the toolkit. I guess I also should say that it took us about a year to just implement the toolkit, and that we're still mining data now because it's so rich in information that it provides. We were very lucky in that we had funding from the Ohio Department of Health so that we could hire two consultants, one to do our management and leadership interviews, and one to do the staff focus groups. And then when you're looking at tailoring the tool, it's really important to look at what your experience is with your health equity work, what your current organizational issues are. What's great that Sandy mentioned is they have this matrix of organizational characteristics and workforce competencies, and this is a view of what that looks like. And every question in the first four phases, the staff survey, the collaborating partner survey, the focus groups, the management interviews, all those questions are linked back to this matrix. So it makes it very easy to use the matrix based on your level of health equity experience, what the issues are at your department you want to look at, and make sure you're finding the right questions to include in your survey. Looking at the staff survey, there's over 120 questions. You're not going to implement all those questions at your department, and the matrix really helps you be selective with that. In addition, you know, we certainly changed questions. We even added some new questions for issues that we knew we needed to address that weren't in the toolkit. The other thing that we did was we added Alameda County's strategic planning survey. And Catherine Schaff, this is her contact information if you're interested in getting a hold of that. It was four questions, and the toolkit itself really gives you a snapshot of where you are in terms of your health equity work. What are you doing? How are you functioning as a department? These four questions give you an idea of what you might want to do moving forward. There's a question about, you know, what should you prioritize and focus on moving forward to address health inequities. There's sort of a mini SWOT, what would make this work easier and harder. And we adapted some of these questions for the partner survey, too, so that we could see differences in the department, what our priorities were and what our partners' priorities were moving forward. We also uncovered some differences between our leadership staff and the rest of the department. So we felt this was an important thing to add on to the toolkit. The other thing that we did, I didn't mention, is making sure that we had the right demographic categories at the beginning of the survey. The toolkit has like frontline staff, supervisor. We wanted to look at clinical staff versus our social work outreach staff versus our inspectional regulatory staff. And it was really useful for us to see what differences existed there so we could address those issues moving forward. For us, the lessons learned, give yourself enough time. It took us a long time to do the toolkit. It took us a long time to tailor the toolkit. I can't kind of stress that piece enough. We were pulling in staff from all over the department to work on the implementation team. And the document and policy review piece needs a little more development. And so that took us some time to go through and figure out exactly what we needed from that portion. On the SurveyMonkey links, we ended up using a generic link for all staff. And then we actually used a generic link for the partner survey. We wish we had used a unique link because there's really valuable information in the partner survey that you want to follow up on, and then we couldn't because we didn't know who had said it. So even though it might reduce your response rate slightly by using a unique link, we think it's a valuable trade-off that we would recommend to people if they were going to implement the toolkit. We also had over a 90% response rate from our staff on the electronic staff survey, and we did that by incentivizing our managers. We had them hold survey-taking meetings. They were held accountable to getting their staff to take the survey. A lot of people turned over their typical team meeting to doing this. We made our computer labs available for staff that didn't have access to a computer. We gave everybody really simple snacks to have because it took about 30 to 45 minutes to do the staff survey. a granola bar and a few chocolates. And then managers that had over 90% of their staff complete the electronic staff survey were entered into a raffle for a Kroger grocery card to then hold an event for their staff. And we found that very effective because we were close to a 95% response rate. And then the other thing we would say and emphasize is keeping staff updated. We did a really great job sort of launching the toolkit and talking about it. We even had an internal website devoted to the results, but we think it would have been more effective if we had gone back and gone to some division meetings and team meetings to talk about the results and get another round of feedback. We did present the results at our all-staff survey, but I would say closing that feedback loop another time would be important. For us, our results, in addition to sort of getting a snapshot of where we were, what kind of health equity work we were doing, what our planning processes were, we also got a lot of feedback about how our organization was functioning. And I think we can all agree, if your organization is dysfunctional, you're not going to have the capacity to address health inequities in your community. So this toolkit really highlighted what some of the issues were for us around our internal communication, some of our planning processes. It helped us highlight what our specific gaps and strengths were within the department. We learned that we really need to do more around policy and advocacy, and that we need to build our ability to engage the community. And those all come off the matrix. You can link back in the analysis. So that was really helpful. And then it also provided important information for accreditation, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then we're using these results to move forward with our health equity roadmap. Are a lot of you, your health departments, looking for accreditation? Anybody applying? Okay. We found that this was very helpful to us with our application. We were able to use these results for our strategic planning. We did a new strategic planning cycle. We used it for quality improvement. We found we had some issues with inclusive decision making, and this helped us to highlight where we needed to make some improvements at the department. We were able to highlight what our workforce development needs were and craft our workforce development plan for accreditation. It gave us important information about our partnerships for accreditation. And then coming off that document and policy review, we created new policies and procedures at the department. One of the things that we found is our materials review process wasn't doing what we had hoped, and we've now completely revamped that. So we think there's real use to this toolkit for accreditation. And you, of course, can do more to tailor the toolkit to accreditation, add some more questions if needed. So that's a very, very brief view of our use of the toolkit. If you get into the toolkit and you're reading it and you think it's something that you would like to move forward with at your department, either with part of the toolkit or in its entirety, please call me because there's a lot more in-depth things we can talk about with questions and tailoring the toolkit. And there's my contact information. Thanks.